So my name is Derek Law, and I work with the server and portal development teams. This is Bill Major. Professional Services does a fantastic job, many portal deployments and implementations. If you've seen us or seen me present a session before, you know that I like to tell a couple of jokes, living out my secondary career as a stand-up comedian. Yes? No? So good news is I have different jokes for different sessions. Bad news is same level of quality, same caliber. So as a warm-up, let's you know, kind of get you guys in a good mood. So you're here for Portal for ArcGIS Administration. And I want to start off my first joke slide by paying homage to my colleague Bill Major, who works in professional services. I apologize for the font size of the diagram. I didn't realize that till yesterday when we did the session. So I will read out the text for you, okay? This is a conceptual diagram on the philosophy of how a project gets done, which I think in your organization and sometimes in ours, it may happen. So what you're seeing here is a picture of a swing, and the description underneath says how the customer explained it. Then if we advance to the next diagram, this is how the project leader understood it. And as you can see, the swing is slightly different, right? Everyone with me? The next one is, well, how the analyst designed it. Then finally we have how the programmer coded it. And of course, this is how the business consultant described it, right? It's going to be this lazy boy chair, fantastic. This is how the project was documented. I'm sure we've all done that, because I know we all live and breathe metadata. That's like the second thing we do after we finish whatever we're building. This one here is what the operations installed. How the customer was billed. Doesn't happen here, of course, but I'm just saying, you know, that roller coaster. We have how it was supported, right? And finally, what the customer really needed, just a tire swing. All right. I added a couple more slides just for you, but they're from last year, so I don't know. It's very hard to have different jokes over the sessions. So I have a couple of other quick gag slides that we'll show you. Many of you, I'm sure, drive a lot in the city, right? And as you're driving around, you maybe drive through some downtown neighborhoods where there's houses, and you don't want to make noise. Sometimes they put those signs up, like, for noise control. Does that make sense? Like, no, you know, 18 tractor trailers going this through this, driving through the section between certain hours of the day. Everyone with me so far? Maybe where it's been a long week, right? But this one here, you see? No horn blowing, except for not danger, anger, right? I think it's very appropriate. Okay, see, there's a tough crowd, Bill. I don't know, man. They're getting jaded.
That's pretty weak. Right?
Dude, I'm trying. I have to be politically correct, diverse international audience, and this is like my, I don't even know how many said. This is, I have five different topics this week, so it's tough. But the material's getting stretched. Classic no smoking sign. No offense to any smokers here, right? I covered the bottom because this organization, you know, is reasonable, right? No smoking except if you're on fire. Well, we'll let you go. Man, dude, this is tough. I'm getting nothing. All right. I only have one more, and I have another session this afternoon, too. So this next diagram is going to kind of lay the foundation. It's not meant to be funny, but maybe it is. And really, it's to give you context on what we are going to talk about, right? At the top is ArcGIS Online. You simply turn it on. Life is good. At the bottom is Portal for ArcGIS. And really, we're going to spend the next hour talking about all the different knobs and switches and dials that you will be using for Portal for ArcGIS. Okay? It's a tough crowd today, Bill. I don't know. I'm a little bit intimidated. Okay, so on behalf of Bill and I, thank you guys for showing up. You are here for the second offering of Portal for ArcGIS Administration. Before we get started, how many of you are active or do you have Portal installed? Okay. How many of you consider yourselves Portal administrators? Okay, fantastic. I'll do another quick survey. How many of you are on 10.2? Okay. How about 10.3? Okay. How about 10-4? All right, that's good. That's good. Well, thank you guys for showing up. As I mentioned, my name is Derek, and I work with the server and portal development teams in Redlands. With me is Bill Major. He's in the DC office, and he works in professional services, and he's done many different portal deployments. What are we going to cover in the next hour? This is a very intense session. I'm not going to lie to you. If you know nothing about Portal and you're here to learn about Portal, this is not the session for you. Okay? We put a warning here. I personally consider this to be an intermediate to advanced session. So before coming here, you're welcome to stay, but before coming here, you should have some fundamental knowledge about the WebGIS pattern within your infrastructure. So you should know about ArcGIS Server. How many of you are familiar with ArcGIS Server? Awesome, okay? You should know what the ArcGIS Web Adapter is. You should understand when we talk about REST endpoint, all right? You should have at least opened up Portal and experienced it, because this is an intermediate to advanced session. We're going to take a deep dive into Portal for ArcGIS and talk about things that you should be aware of if you are an administrator for Portal for ArcGIS. Now, we have a very full topic. We're going to talk briefly about installation and configuration, more specifically some advanced options that you may or may not do. We'll talk about upgrading to the 10.4.1 release. Is anyone on 10.4.1? Okay, no one. Oh, someone, perfect. So we'll talk about some things to consider if you're going to upgrade to 10.4.1. We'll talk about some common portal administration tasks, things that you may or may not be aware of. If you work in a disconnected environment, Portal is designed to do that. You may want to assign your own custom base maps, your own utility services, etc. We'll then talk about some advanced customization, how you can edit the config.js file to make changes. Another responsibility as a Portal admin is Portal includes a whole suite of client applications that work with your Portal. And we'll talk about things to consider, how to license ArcGIS Pro, how to license Navigator for ArcGIS, how to enable Operations Dashboard and ArcGIS Map for Office. We'll then briefly talk about troubleshooting, working in a disconnected environment, and then briefly, high availability. And if you have any questions, Bill and I will take questions during the session. Are you okay with that, or after? Maybe at the end of the session. We want to make sure we get through all our content, and then we'll make ourselves available after the session. Okay? So again, fair warning, I want to set the level of expectation. If you are new to Portal for ArcGIS, you are welcome to stay, but please don't annihilate us on the survey saying this content was too hard, because we want to set expectations. Minimally, I hope you attended the introduction to Portal session so you at least have an idea and you know what federation is. Okay? All right, let's get started. So, you've seen this slide before. This is the classic WebGIS pattern slide, right? You all know that since the 10.3 release, ArcGIS for Server allows you to deploy this WebGIS pattern within your infrastructure. You get that entire stack. Client applications, they search and discover GIS assets and resources through a portal, in this case, capital P, because we're talking about Portal for ArcGIS. A portal is useful because it has data content, and it's powered by GIS servers. By the way, I want to mention that if you're taking notes, fantastic. If you need a copy of the PowerPoint, send me an email, or I'll give you my card, okay, and we'll send it next week. Bill and I are going to focus on this, capital P, Portal for ArcGIS. We'll talk a little bit about how it relates to other parts of the stack, but really our purpose in life for this tech session is to focus on Portal for ArcGIS. And we're going to go through a variety of different topics that you need to be aware of as an admin. First, we'll start with installation and configuration, right? So what are some advanced options you may want to do as a Portal admin? As a quick review, how do we install Portal, right? Many of you already have it running. We have these five-level steps. You run the installer. You then authorize the software, and you create that initial administrator account. This is conceptually like the primary site administrator account for ArcGIS Server, right? This is an admin account you create for Portal. You can certainly change it down the road. Then what you have to do is enable SSL on your web server, right? You want to install the web adapter, which is required for Portal, optional for Server. And you install the web adapter, then you want to assign a security certificate to that web adapter and that portal. Right? This is all very well documented in the help documentation. After you've done that, you then configure the web adapter to work with Portal. And you need to have one dedicated web adapter with your Portal. You can't share that web adapter with ArcGIS Server. Okay? This, hopefully many of you have done this already. Now, after you've installed Portal, I'm sure you're also familiar with the Portal Administrator Directory. This is kind of conceptually like the Server Administrator Directory, right? You log in with your initial administrator account, and you have a nice UI, but a minimal UI to work and control different settings within your portal, right? We're going to go over a couple of things that you may or may not want to do within this user experience if you are a portal admin. For example, you may want to change the location of your portal directories. So if I do a default portal installation and dump it on my machine, as you go through the wizard, it will say, do you want to put directory blah in the /ArcGIS portal folder? And you may accept that by default. But if you're a medium or large enterprise organization, you may want to move your content directory to a different location, a different file share. That's the use case. So of course, you copy that content folder. Then what you have to do is log into this portal administrator directory, and you go to System, Directories. There's an Edit Directory link shown in the screenshot on the left, on the middle there. And you want to then specify the new location. Now, this is something you want to be very careful to do if you're going to do this. And you want to check the help documentation. It's optional. You don't have to, but it depends on your business workflows. Another enhancement that you may want to change is, well, what if you want to implement security? If you look at the diagram in the lower left-hand corner, we have this concept diagram of a client application connecting to Portal, but through a firewall. You'll notice the firewall has a different DNS address than Portal. If I want that client application to be successful, I have to tell Portal what the new or different DNS address is for that firewall. And I do this by editing the web context URL parameter, right? So again, how do I do this? I go into my portal administrator directory, and then I go to System, Properties, Update. That screenshot on the right has that web context URL property that I may have to edit. Now, I may or may not want to do this. Again, it depends on your business workflows. We doing okay? I'm seeing some, maybe everyone's still waking up. It's 10:30, right? We're getting full here on technology, okay? What else would I want to do? Well, I can also configure enterprise logins, right? Let's say, for example, I have Portal for ArcGIS set up. I set it up with Windows Active Directory so I can get my users. I can, in theory, provide a single sign-on user experience. What do I mean by that? Well, someone in my Windows Active Directory, I could enable Portal so that when that person lands at the Portal homepage, we automatically create them as a Portal member to give them that single sign-on user experience. This may or may not be a good thing because, as you know, Portal is licensed by named user. So if you only have 20 named users, what that means is the first 20 people who connect to your Portal will automatically take up those 20 spots, and you may or may not want to control this. What this slide is showing you here is you have the ability to turn this functionality on if you want that single sign-on automatic account creation property set to active, right? So how do I do that? Well, again, I go into my portal administrator directory and I go to security, config, update security configuration, and I edit that enable automatic account creation property to true. By default, it's set to false because we want you guys as the portal admins to have specific control on who becomes a member in your portal. You may have 1,000 people in your active directory and you want to be selective on who those members are. But this is an option. Perhaps if you're a smaller organization, you don't have a lot of people, you may want to turn this on. A new enhancement at 10.4 is you can now configure language search results. What does that mean? Well, when you search for an item, such as demographics, for example, inside Portal, We have some predefined Esri-owned items. And you might get a demographics layer that's returned in multiple languages. So English, French, Spanish, etc. That's what's being shown by the screenshot on the right-hand side. Now, for your organization, that might be annoying, right? I don't want to see the same item returned multiple times in different languages. So I may want to turn off this property. This is something that you probably want to do if you have 10.4. So again, you go to the server administrator directory and you basically uncheck the languages that you don't want returned. That way you avoid data duplication for your search results. And again, this is only for Esri-owned items. Now I'm going to take a different tact here. We have the portal administrator directory. We also have a series of portal command line tools, just like with ArcGIS Server. They're installed as part of the portal installation directory. And we have the path on the slide here. This is a collection of Python scripts that you can run to perform some administrative tools, such as adding users, changing item ownership. And we actually have a new command called portal scan, which is pretty cool. And this is something, put a big star in your notes, that we recommend you do. What does this mean? Well, at 10.4, we have a new help topic that gives you some best practices on how to make your portal site secure. And there are just basically 12 tips and tricks. You know, disable this, enable this, et cetera, et cetera. And what this script allows you to do is it does a scan on your portal site to check if you've applied those 12 best practices. If you haven't, that's okay, but it reports to you, hey, here are some recommendations by Esri on what we think you may want to do to secure your portal site. Let's take a look at the software. Okay. Sorry. Okay. So you can see here, this is the portal administrator directory. I've already logged in with my admin account. Bless you. And again, it's very similar to the server admin directory, right? I can go to system, view information about my portal site, such as my web adapters and where they are, my directories and where they are. And this is all important stuff that we want to protect. I could change my languages here. Again, here are my languages that are automatically returned. But I can click update and basically say, you know what? I only want English, so I would, you know, uncheck all of them and only check English, right? That's for me, but for you guys, it may vary. If you're from Canada, you may have English and French. Really depends. I am not going to update that. I can also go to the indexer. This is really important. As you'll see when Bill talks about updating your portal, after you've done all the physical upgrading of your portal software, you want to re-index your portal content. That will help optimize the search engine. So here is where you would find it. Okay. Now, I also mentioned we had some portal command line tools, right? So I can go to my Windows Explorer, go to my C drive, Program Files, ArcGIS, Portal, Tools, and here I have a bunch of folders for my different tools. I want to look at the one for security, and here I have this portal scan Python script. Now, to run it, I simply open up a command line window, so I'll do that. Here we go. And I'll change directory, and I'll simply copy this location and paste it in this window here. Whoops. Okay. Now I can run my script. So I'll simply hit portalscan.py. It asks me for the fully qualified domain name of my portal. Then I give it my administrator account. Whoops. I might have messed it up. Now, let me try that again. I apologize. Portal scan, domain name. Quickly scans my portal site, generates a report. By default, it gets dumped in the same location as where my tool is. Today's the 30th. I double click on it. And here we go. It says, hey, you have a critical security issue. It's unrestricted. You should probably only assign trusted addresses. Now, if I want to get more information on where to go to understand these results of my scan, where do I go? I go to the help doc, right? So I go to open up a new tab, server.arcgis.com, which I know we all read religiously, like myself, like every other day. Portal for ArcGIS, what's new? What's new in 10.4? And I believe it's here. I hope, nope, maybe not. I will go to, let's see, it should, administrator tab, sorry. I go to secure your portal, and here we go. Scan your portal for security best practices. This is the topic that describes all those different results to be returned and how you can fix it. Highly recommend you do this if only to figure out how vulnerable your portal site is. You don't want to be the next company that's in the news, company X, security breach, blah, with your data, right? Okay. And with that, I'm going to hand it off to Bill.
Okay. Everyone, can y'all hear me? Is this working? Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. All right, so I just don't feel like that's working very well. I'll talk real loud in case you can't hear me through the mic. All right, so the next thing we're going to talk about moving on is creating user accounts in advance within your portal. Okay, so there are two different scenarios where you may want to do that, either with built-in user accounts or perhaps with enterprise identity stores. So there are times when you may want to not allow users to come in and sign up for a new account and all of that. You want to control how accounts get created by whom and for who. So this is a scenario where you can either bulk import a text file that has all those settings set up, or if you're integrated with enterprise logins, you can actually import users directly from Active Directory. Okay, so in the case of, I may be jumping ahead, but let's talk about the Active Directory and importing enterprise logins. You may want to establish your portal within your organization. Let's just pretend you have 100 people. You may want to pre-create all their accounts, create some groups, automatically assign people to groups, so that when someone comes to your portal the first time, it's kind of already pre-configured for who they are, what groups they belong to, and you can kind of set all that stuff up in bulk in advance. So there are times when you may want to, like I say, create user accounts in bulk. So one of the ways you can do that is as a portal administrator, through the portal user interface, you'll have the ability to add members to your portal. So when you do that, you'll have this next dialog that says, hey, I want to add built-in portal users. You click next. Now the next thing is you need to specify a text file. Our help documentation identifies the format of this text document and what it needs to look like if you want to do this. So this will contain all the users that you want to pre-create accounts for. All right, so you go select that text document. Then it gives you a confirmation step before it actually does it saying, hey, I read this text document. Here's what I'm about to do. Do you want to do this? And if you click next, then you get the nice green check mark, and all of your users have now been imported. Okay, so that's you know, that's really really a nice way to increase or insert all your users in advance. And like I say, with enterprise logins, if you're set up with Active Directory, you can actually point to example at enterprise groups and import all the users in that Active Directory group and pre-create accounts for them, and you can follow that process as well. Another thing we've introduced starting at 10.4 specifically for built-in accounts, this does not apply to enterprise logins, is ability to now enforce password policies. So prior to 10.4, someone could create an account using a password, and I think the only requirement is it had to be 8 characters long. It would never change, and you know, there's no complexity to it at all. Now we've introduced the ability for you as a portal administrator within your organization to decide, well, how long is that password good for and how complex does it need to be? So now in like secure environments or maintaining security regulations within your organization, we handle the ability to set those password policies in Portal. The next thing I want to talk about briefly is security related. It's all about trusted encrypted communication. Does everyone know what HTTPS is? Like you go to the URL, you type in HTTPS. Well, if you know what that is, basically what's going on is you are communicating with some web server over an encrypted channel at that point when you're in HTTPS, okay? When you do that, then the server has presented you what we call an SSL certificate, and your client web browser has decided to trust or potentially not trust that certificate. If it trusts it, then it established a secure channel, and now you're communicating with that web browser through encrypted traffic. That's what SSL is all about, is establishing the necessary trust so that your communication within your framework and data flowing back and forth is encrypted, okay? Many organizations have requirements where all communication must be SSL-enabled, HTTPS encrypted. So we actually provide means within our environment to do that, okay? One of the things to be aware of, if you're a portal admin or have some level of systems knowledge, you probably know, and we document this in our help, that Portal runs its services on port 7443. These are some of the ports that you have to have open in order for communication to work properly. We install a self-signed certificate as part of that process. A self-signed certificate basically says, hey, I'm telling you the name of my machine, but it's self-signed. There's no authority that has signed this for me, so you have to decide whether you trust me or not. You ever gone to a website and you gotten like the little X up in the web browser? You may see something that said, hey, you, before you proceed, this is an untrusted site. You know, do you want to go anyway? So this is a situation where a self-signed certificate, may not be desirable, okay? So one of the requirements for Portal is you must install a web adapter. The good thing about installing the web adapter on a web server is that you mask this self-signed certificate from users communicating directly to that port. So that's good. So users will never have the situation of communicating over 7443 and getting into this untrusted connection scenario. So you install the web server, you install the web adapter, and you put a signed SSL certificate on your web server. So now all clients are talking to the web server over a properly signed certificate, trust is good, encryption is current, and life is good at that point. Now, some organizations take it a step further, and they say, hey, you know what? We don't want any self-signed certificates running on our network. I'm not sure how many people here have security organizations that are scanning servers and keeping up with things like that. But if they scan your system, probably one of the things they're going to pick up is, hey, you have this port open, and it's running HTTPS, and it's using a self-signed certificate. We don't allow that in our organization, so you need to take care of that. Well, you just can't turn off 7443 unless you don't want Portal to work, okay? So what do we do about that? We actually provide a way to import a properly signed certificate into the Portal Admin API. And there's two processes you can follow to accomplish that. One is you can generate what we call a certificate signing request from within Portal. You pass that to your organization, they'll sign it, and then you import it back in. Or another process is if you already have a properly signed certificate, then you can import that directly into the Portal Admin API. And where this exists in the Portal Admin API is under Home Security SSL Certificates. Like I said, it comes with the self-signed one. It also has, you see some other options there which are new at 10.4 that also allows you to specify very specific SSL protocols and ciphers. If you don't know what that means, good. But if you do know what that means, then we have the options for you to tweak that as necessary. And that circle down there imports the link where you can import these certificates I was talking about, either properly root signed certificates, or the link next to it is a proper signed server certificate. So these are just options that we've made available through the Portal Administrator API to be able to do these types of things. All right, so let's move on. We're going to talk about now upgrading Portal. So everyone, glad Derek asked that question. We have a range of users, versions of Portal from 10.2, I think all the way up to 10.4.1. All right, so let's talk about, is this working?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. So the great thing about our software starting at 10.2 is that we now support in-place upgrades. So no matter which older version you have, dating back to 10.2, when if you want to upgrade to 10.4.1, for example, then you download the install from myesri.com. you run it, and we support in-place upgrades of any of those versions there. Okay? Five key points to remember when you are upgrading Portal. This is very important, and I highly, highly encourage you to do this. Read the documentation on how to upgrade your Portal. It's like a 20-some step page that lays out different considerations. It lays out the order you should follow as well, and other considerations about, hey, make sure you back up and do some things before you begin. Highly encourage you to do that before you consider an upgrade. Okay? First, you're going to run the software, and you're going to finish that process, right? It's not going to ask you for a new license file. It should already be licensed, so all of that. However, at the end of that upgrade process, you will be asked to create an initial administrator account. You may think to yourself, hey, I have already done this in my portal. I did it prior when I installed it. That's okay. You have to do it again, okay? It can be the same username and password as you had before, and it will establish that, and everything will just work automatically. You could potentially use a different brand new username and password. You have that option, but be aware it will ask you for this. Don't freak out thinking something didn't go right and you're creating a brand new site and all your content is gone. This is part of the upgrade process. Okay? The next thing, if you're following the help documentation, it will have said, install the software, you're going to be prompted for this, do this, do this. The next thing is it's going to instruct you to go into the admin API that the portal admin API that Derek showed and mentioned earlier. You must re-index all of your content. Okay, the reason for that is at each release, we kind of make different, we make changes of the structure of the data and some things like that. We upgrade it. So we need all of the data to be re-indexed for that specific version, so now all the searches and everything work properly. Okay? Important that you do this, or you're not going to be able to search and find anything. Okay? The next thing you're doing is if you had a web browser open where you were previously logged into that portal on the server or something like that when you were upgrading, you need to clear the cache and close that browser and start over. This is important because a lot of people upgrade their portal and they had a web browser over here open. They're like, oh, let me hit refresh and see what happens. You're going to get some weird errors. The problem is that the token and everything that was used for your login session is no longer any good. You're going to get some weird behavior. Clear your browser, start over, open a brand new page, hit your portal. You should be good to go. All right? So, one other thing, most of you probably have federated ArcGIS servers. How do you handle this in an upgrade? I don't mean to sound redundant, but go back to step one, follow the steps. You'll get to this section where it says, oh, if you have federated ArcGIS servers, here's what you need to do now. Do not unfederate your ArcGIS servers. It is not required for an upgrade. Do not do that. You're going to perform the upgrade on Portal and associated web adapter. You're going to perform the upgrade on server. The server site's individual. Whether you do portal or server, one or the other first, as long as you're working through that entire upgrade process, it doesn't matter. But if you follow that documentation, it kind of takes you through the steps, what you need to do. You do, yep. So for the web adapter, web adapters must always match the version that they're configured to. All right? The web adapter is the only piece of their technology where you have to uninstall it yourself and install the new version. So you do have to do that, okay? It must match versions. For the ArcGIS data store, this is very specific. If you have a hosting site specified with the ArcGIS data store, you must first upgrade the ArcGIS servers in that site before you upgrade the data store. That is the one order prerequisite in a hosting full hosting WebGIS configuration. Okay, if you have a standby data store, if you have a primary and a standby for availability, you must install the primary first or upgrade the primary first, then upgrade the standby afterwards. Okay, but the key point is you must upgrade the ArcGIS servers first before you move on to the data store. All right, I'm gonna let Derek move on with some other topics.
Okay, thanks, Bill. We doing okay? I'm detecting like mild energy here. Hang in there, okay? All right. So we talked about some advanced tasks that you may want to do when you're doing your portal installation and configuration. We talked about some security settings that you may want to apply. We talked about things to think to consider when you're doing a portal site upgrade. What are some common administration tasks that you most likely will do? All right, let's take a look. So we're going to spend the next several slides and discuss things that you guys as a portal admin may do for your day-to-day operations, such as customizing the homepage, which really should be pretty basic if you've done it. If you've customized an ArcGIS online organization, you can customize a portal homepage. We'll talk about how you can apply your own base maps or your own utility services. We'll also briefly explain the spatial analysis tools in Portal that were added at the 10.4 release and how they work conceptually. We'll mention how you can apply custom templates, licensing ArcGIS Pro and Navigator for ArcGIS, which are two premium apps, which means they are not included with the license. You need to pay extra for it. And we'll also talk about the activity dashboard. Is anyone using the activity dashboard? Oh my goodness. You need to see this. Okay, this is the second greatest thing since sliced bread after Portal. Okay, activity dashboard gives you phenomenal reporting. So let's take a look. You know you log in as into your portal as an admin user, right? You go to My Organization and you click Edit Settings. This is what is being shown in the screenshot on this slide. This is the user interface where you can set some configuration and customization properties for your portal installation. Some of the basic things you can do, of course, is change the portal homepage. And again, if you've configured or customized an ArcGIS online organization page, it's the same user experience as Portal. You can add a custom title, logo, banner, background, the featured group in the display, and also a description. Right? This is what is supported out of the box. I've had customers ask me, well, can I do more? Can I go into the portal home directory and add some CSS files to style it? Maybe I want my items to appear vertically. Maybe I want to have 5 items appear. Can I do that? Yes, you can absolutely do that, but it's a good news, bad news situation. If you apply your own advanced customizations to this page, have fun, you can definitely do that. However, when you decide to upgrade your portal installation to, let's say, 10.4.2 or 10.5, those customizations will not be honored. It'll default to this look and feel, and you'll have to reapply your customizations. Does that make sense? Okay. And I know some customers have complained, well, why is that, Derek? Why can't you have the installer somehow automatically detect all my customizations and still upgrade? That was a joke, and no one's laughing. But you guys can see the challenge that we face, right? So if you make customizations within the user interface, no problem. We'll honor that with the upgrade. If you do advanced customizations, which is totally possible, then be aware that when you apply the next software upgrade, they'll be lost and you'll have to reapply them. Okay? Now, you may want to use custom base maps. By default, Portal installs, and it's configured to reach out to ArcGIS Online to grab and display those base maps. They're licensed for your use. However, we appreciate that some customers work in a completely off-the-wire, disconnected environment where they can't grab those ArcGIS Online base maps. Or maybe you have projects where you want to apply a spatial reference that is different than Web Mercator, right? Inside a web map, it takes the first base map, and that will be the spatial reference of that web map by default. So if you want to apply a custom projection, you would add a custom base map with your own custom projection. How do you do that? Inside the Portal Map Viewer, I click the Add Data button. I add the REST endpoint of my custom base map with my custom projection, and then I check that checkbox that says Add as Base Map. I then save it as a new item in my portal. I then take that item and I reference it in a custom group. And then I reference that custom group in my base map gallery. And we have this all documented in the help. Okay, so you have this option if you want. I can also use custom utility services, right? So those of you who have used Portal, you know that Portal by default uses the ArcGIS Online locator service, and we allow you to do one single address geocode at no cost. But if you decide to enable batch geocoding, that requires credits. Okay. So some customers, maybe they have their own comprehensive street network or they have their own locator service and they want to reference it in Portal, they can absolutely do that. Again, you go to Edit Settings, you click the Utility Services tab, and here is where you can add or reference your own utility service. You simply add it as a new item in your portal, and then you want to make sure you share it with everyone. That way, all your portal members and perhaps your anonymous users can also execute that functionality. Now, if you decide to not have your own custom utility services, you can also reference utility services from ArcGIS Online, and we've updated the user experience at 10.4. Life is actually really good here. If you look at the screenshot, basically what it says is you will check off which utility services you want to use from ArcGIS Online. Then you have to specify some credentials that will execute and run those utility services. So I want to make it very clear. Let's say I have my portal, and Bill, who's a member of my portal, wants to do a geocode, right? And we're going to use the ArcGIS Online utility service. Sorry, the ArcGIS Online locator service. When Bill performs that operation, under the covers, Portal for ArcGIS is actually executing that operation using the credentials that I've referenced here. This is going to be an ArcGIS Online named user account. Does that make sense? So even though Bill, who's a member of my portal, is performing the operation, under the covers, the software is performing that geocode operation under that ArcGIS Online account, which means that ArcGIS Online account needs to have sufficient credits to make that operation work. Okay? We've also added support for geo-enrichment services, which is brand new at 10.4. So it's as easy as checking it on and adding credentials. Is everyone okay with that? Okay. Let's talk about some other new functionality at 10.4, which is the spatial analysis tools. So you can see here, inside the portal map viewer, you can now do spatial analysis. This was available in ArcGIS Online as of last year in December. We now have it in Portal. To enable this functionality, you need to be aware that you have to set up a portal hosting server. If you look at the concept diagram on the right-hand side, what does that mean? I have to deploy Portal. I have to deploy a server site that is federated with Portal. So that server site is using the same security model as Portal. I also have to install the ArcGIS data store. It's a separate software installation like the web adapter, but I need it to work with and deploy this hosting server pattern. Let's take a look. So for example, I am in my portal. Oops. Let me zoom out here. And this is not the map I want to use, so I'm going to go to My Content. And let me go to So I'm going to show you inside my portal map viewer this map of Los Angeles schools. You guys can see this. Okay? And pretty cool, right? Another new enhancement is we also have smart mapping, right? This is, again, a direct port from ArcGIS Online. Smart mapping are those simple cartographic tools. For example, I can make a heat map of all my schools if I want to because I'm not a cartographer, but I can also cancel it. What I want to highlight is we have this new drop-down called analysis. So, for example, we have some analysis tools here, and I will use this calculate density of my schools. I will leave all the defaults and run the analysis. Oops, I'm sorry. Let me number two. So what's going on behind the scenes? Portal for ArcGIS is now doing this analysis. Under the covers, it's actually calling a geoprocessing service from my hosting server. Let me show you. As it's running, I'm going to go to ArcGIS Server Manager. And at the 10.4 release, ArcGIS Server has a new geoprocessing service that's included with the software called Spatial Analysis Tools. This geoprocessing service here powers, I think it's like 11 of the 15 spatial analysis tools inside the portal map viewer. When you install ArcGIS Server by default, this geoprocessing service is turned off. As soon as you take that server site and you federate it with Portal, and then you install the ArcGIS data store, this service will automatically turn on to enable that analysis capability. Okay? Let me go back to Portal now, and you can see I've generated this spatial density map, or sorry, data layer, right? This is actual new data that was created. If I go back to my concept diagram, that new data exists in two locations. First, those polygons are now data stored inside the ArcGIS data store, and that new layer is actually a service that is running inside the hosted GIS server. So it's actually a new hosted feature service, okay? If I go back to ArcGIS Server Manager and I go to my hosted folder, you'll see now I have this new service, Los Angeles Schools Density Number 2. This was automatically created by the software. All right? Now, this is something to keep in mind. If you're the portal administrator, do not mess with this hosted folder. All the services in this hosted folder are managed and maintained internally by the software. If I were to go back to my portal and go to my content, see I have my feature layer and click delete. If I delete it in my portal, behind the scenes, the software will delete the hosted feature service and it will also delete the content from the ArcGIS data store. Does that make sense? Okay. So something to be aware of as a portal admin. I'm showing this to you saying, hey, this is how the plumbing works, but I'm saying, hey, don't mess with it. Otherwise, there'll be issues down the road. All right. Now, you can also apply custom templates to Portal, right? This is very cool if you're an organization and you want to make sure all the applications that your Portal members build conform to some kind of branding. Let's say, for example, you want all your applications to have a yellow and blue banner and your red triangle logo. You can definitely do that. What do I do? Well, I go back to my portal and I create some templates. I create those templates and then I add them as items in my portal. Then I make a group that references my templates. Actually, let me take a step back. Does everyone know what I'm talking about? Does everyone understand what I'm talking about? If I go to the map viewer, and let's say I have this web map, in fact, right? I decide to share it. Let me save this, sorry. And I decide, you see? Okay. I decide to share it. I can choose this Create Web App option. And here you can see I have my default Esri configurable templates. I can create my own templates with my own branding and enable it in this panel. How do I do that? So I'm going to cancel this. Whoops, I'm so sorry. I add my custom templates as items, and then I collect them together into a group. In this case, I have a group called custom templates. Notice now I'm using two custom templates that I've built from Web App Builder. What I can do is go to my organization, edit settings, and if I scroll down to the map option, notice now for configurable apps, it's pointing to the default group. But I could choose that custom templates group. I also have the option to say, I want my templates available along with the Esri ones if I so choose. But for now, I will leave this unchecked. Then when I hit save, go back to my map, and if I decide to hit share, create a web app, you'll see only the templates that I made are available. Does that make sense? So you can kind of force your end users to follow the branding or whatever app display requirements for your apps. Okay. Okay. Now, another job that you may have as a portal admin is to license two premium apps, ArcGIS Pro and Navigator for ArcGIS. Right? This is a screen capture of the user experience, which I'll show you in a little bit. How do I do that? There's a three-step workflow. I have to get the license file for ArcGIS Pro from Esri Customer Service. I take that license file, and I have to import it into the ArcGIS License Manager. This is a separate piece of software that you can download from the customer service website. Once I've imported that file into the License Manager, I have to export it as a JSON file. I then take this JSON file and I import it into Portal through the Portal Administrator Directory. Once I've imported it into Portal, I will then get a brand new UI link inside my Portal, my organization page. Let me show you. I'm logged in as an administrator, and I go to the My Organization page, and as you will see, I have this link here called Manage Licenses. By default, when you install Portal, this little button is turned off. It's hidden. It's only activated after you've imported a JSON file of your ArcGIS Pro file, license file through the Portal server, Portal Administrator Directory. Sorry, it's been a long week here. Okay. I click Manage Licenses, and this is the UI that I get. So by default, I have 50 licenses, and I can start to assign them to my Portal members. The same is also applicable for Navigator for ArcGIS. And I can tell you moving forward, as we add more premium apps, this is how they will be licensed in Portal for ArcGIS. I don't have to do this. I could always license these same apps through my ArcGIS online organization, but for whatever reason, your management may decide to do that management internally in your portal. Okay, so this is an FYI. Could you, sorry, sir, what was that question? So you have to specifically assign a license for every portal member. That is correct, sir. Yeah. Now, Navigator for ArcGIS, you may have seen this demoed in the plenary, right? This is a new app. It's a premium app where you can do some routing. More importantly, routing on your own custom data. So, same thing. I have to import the license file through the Portal Administrator Directory. Once I do that, it activates the UI, as you can see on the screenshot on the right. Now, Navigator is slightly special. You license the software, but you also license what are called mobile map packages, special data packages that you use inside the Navigator application. So you go to customer service, you say, I want to buy 5 licenses of Navigator for ArcGIS, and I also want to license certain data packages of street data to use in the app. Once you get that street data, what you have to do is you have to register that data with Portal. There's actually a command inside the Portal installation directory, which I showed earlier, called Manage MMPKs. And what this does is this allows you to take those mobile map packages that you get from customer service and you register it with your portal. You register it with your portal because inside Portal there's actually a hidden group called Navigator Maps, and that's what this screenshot is showing you here. This hidden group actually has, I think it's like 126 or 128 predefined items for every single type of mobile map package that you can purchase from Esri. It covers the entire North America and also Europe and other select countries, right? So let me show you what I mean here. If I go into Portal, as an administrator, I can search for a group called Navigator, and it's a special group. And you can see here, this group, it's in there. If you search for it, you'll find it, but it doesn't display by default. It's not meant to be browsed through the portal user experience. If I click inside this group, I think there's like 126 or 128 items for different areas of the different mobile map packages that you can license from Esri. If I were to click on Alaska, let's say, and go to details, you'll notice now this item page is actually empty. It's a placeholder, okay? So what I have to do is when I get that data, I run that command called manage MMPKs to register that mobile map package with Portal. Once I have done that command, this item details page would change and give you a URL to download that mobile map package. As I mentioned, I never work with it here. What I have to do is I would get Navigator for ArcGIS, I sign in and connect to my portal, and through the Navigator for ArcGIS app UI is where I would download this mobile map package. Does that make sense? Okay. So just as an FYI, if you decide to deploy that. And finally, we have the activity dashboard. I am shocked, shocked that only one hand went up. This is the greatest, the second greatest thing since sliced bread after Portal. Okay? What do I do? What do I mean? As a Portal admin, this tool is invaluable. I log in as an administrator. I go to my organization, and you see this link here, View Status. This was added at 10.3. I click on here, and as a Portal admin, I am given some reporting and metric information on my Portal. For example, what kind of content is in there? How many are public, private, or in groups? Where are they located spatially? And what data was created during a certain time period? Let me zoom in again. I'm sorry, it's a little bit far out. For my specific members, who is working hard by making lots of data and who is slacking and not making any data at all? What are the most common tags? Thank you for laughing, whoever that was. Also, information on my groups. Okay? This tool is awesome. I cannot praise this enough. It's actually built by a developer out of our DC office named Dan O'Leary. He is very passionate about this product, this part of the product, and we are always actively looking for feedback. What kind of questions do you want answered as a Portal admin? Because we want to enhance this tool to give you more reporting metrics on the content of your Portal. As you can see, as Portal gets larger, encompasses more data, you probably want to manage and maintain this. This is awesome. I strongly, strongly encourage you to use it. Okay. Okay, I kind of went ahead of myself and did the tour already, so I will pass it on to Bill.
Okay, thank you. So, moving on, we're going to now talk about some other types of things. Scripting Portal for ArcGIS Administrator. So there may be times when you want to script certain functionality using the Portal REST API. It is REST, so that much like any other technology, you can make URL calls to it from various technologies, like the last bullet there across the bottom. It will allow you to execute various types of administrative commands, whatever they may be. We actually have some sample Python scripts in the help documentation that cover various scenarios that you can use as a starting point. We also have something called PortalPy, which is out on the public GitHub. It also comes installed with Portal and ArcGIS Server that allows you to do some, various administrative types of things as well, but it's simplified, so you have to code less to get those tasks done. One other thing I wanted to bring up, if you got time and you're really interested, you stop by the server island. There's a stand there focused on this. We are actually developing a new technology that is a sort of an 8 Python API that will work across your entire WebGIS platform. Okay, this is in development. It's planned to be released at 10.5 later this year. However, the key thing here, it is in public beta right now. So if you wanted to check this out, research it, it uses this concept of Python notebooks, a very visual graphic way to interact with Python. Just throw that in there as an alternative as well. All right, one other thing we want to talk about when it comes to customizing your portal is configuring the config.js file or altering the config.js file. How many people know about the config.js file? A few of you. Okay. The config.js file, it is documented, so this is nothing spooky underneath the covers kind of thing. It is something that allows you to control additional configurations of your portal that you can't do through the web user interface, much like the things Derek has been showing. Like I said, there is a help document on it. Okay. I'm going to show you, we're going to talk about this a little bit more detail. I'm going to quickly show it to you, but let me warn you right now. This file is a syntactically correct JSON, a JavaScript JSON file. Make a backup of this file before you decide to edit it. If you mess up, you forget a comma, curly bracket, square bracket, something like that, your portal will not come up. Okay? Proceed with extreme caution. Please make a backup. Okay? you don't want to edit this file, think you did something really cool, then you bounce your portal service and you go to head it, and there's nothing there. That will kind of freak you out a little bit. So, make a backup. One other thing. Changes to this file are persisted during upgrades in that we don't delete the file, but they are not applied once we upgrade. So once you upgrade Portal, you will need to take the previous version, which we maintain during the upgrade. We don't get rid of the file, and apply those same changes to the new config.js that it lays down with the upgrade. Okay, so that's make note of that. There are a few things that you can do in the config.js file. There are several things, but these are just a few of the example things we'll highlight here. One of the things you may want to do is add a classification bar or some type of bar across your portal website. It will always be there. If you're maybe some customer and you want like to put, hey, this is for official, you know, use only, or you know, this is top secret or something like that, we add the ability to enable security classification bars. Footer links. When you install Portal out of the box, you have no little links across the bottom of the home page like is there on ArcGIS Online. You can enable footer links to point to websites within your organization if you choose to. Some other things are things like restricting my organization page to only portal admins. Right now, when any user logs in with portal, whether you're a user, publisher, or an admin, you can actually click on that My Organization page and kind of see all the users in your portal. You can't make any changes to it like you can as an admin. Some organizations feel, hey, you know what? I don't need people going to that page, browsing users to see who's in there. So you can actually change a setting so that only admins have the ability to get to the My Organization page. A few other things there, especially in disconnected environments. You may want to disable the ability, the social media links, as well as, I don't know if people realize this, when you're in web map view, one of the options is, you know, search the web. Well, that's going out and doing a Google search. Well, maybe if you don't want people to have that capability, or in a disconnected environment, you have no access to Google, so you may as well disable that capability as an option. So I'm just going to quickly show you this file, just so you know what it's like if you haven't seen it before. Let me get some glasses on. How are we doing on time, Derek?
We're good. Get you going.
Okay. So I have Notepad++ open right now, and I have this config.js file open. So 95% of this text file, this JSON file, do not change, okay? But if you scroll down in this file and get to the point where it says ArcGIS Portal Settings, so there, this is where you can actually start to change some values. Again, this is documented in our help, what this file is and what these different settings mean, okay? So explore the help doc on this. Some of the things you may want to do is, hey, you know what? I'm going to pre-create accounts, and I don't want anyone to be able to come in and create a new account. So I could actually set this show sign up setting to false, and then that will actually remove that capability from the portal. So no one will be able to just come in and be able to click on create an account. One of the things you can do is set a classification banner I was talking about. So I've copied and pasted this from the help and just put it in here just as an example. Some other things are like, not that you would ever need or want to do this. You could disable the scene viewer web app builder. Don't encourage you to do that. Those are great technologies. Want you to use them. But if you look at this file, there are settings in there to do that. Scroll down just a little bit further. I've already copied and pasted some footer links in here. You can change these to URLs within your organization or maybe the help desk or something like that. So I've went ahead and applied these changes and bounced my portal. And sure enough, when it came back up, I now have this classification bar. It's nice and red. It could be green, whatever colors you specify, and whatever text there is necessary. Finally, across the bottom, I have those links that I specified in there. So then users can have these on every page to be able to get to different places within your organization. Okay, so that's the config.js. Great file to edit. Just be aware. Is it you now?
Okay. Yep. Okay, thanks, Bill. We are probably going to go for another 10 minutes, okay? We have two more sections. All right, I'm going to briefly talk about two other client applications that you may have to configure or have your portal work with. That's Operations Dashboard and ArcGIS Maps for Office, which are included as part of the portal license, all right? Quick review, I'm sure you're aware, Operations Dashboard is designed to work with Operation Views, right? It gives you that real-time display where you can set up some gadgets to show live data feeds and show some KPIs, key performance indicator widgets or gadgets. We also have ArcGIS Maps for Office. This allows you to install a web part as an add-in inside Microsoft Excel. You can connect to your portal, display a web map, take your spreadsheet data, geocode those points on the web map, and then also take those points and push them back to Portal to store it as a hosted feature service. There's tech sessions on these beyond my level of knowledge. I'm just giving you a brief review of what those two apps do, right? The thing about Operations Dashboard is this. Operations Dashboard takes a web map, and you add functionality around it, and then you save what's called an operation view. This can be saved inside your portal. What you're seeing here is a screenshot of an item called an operation view. When I click on it, I have the option to open it in a web browser or to open it in a desktop app. Both of them are different forms of Operations Dashboard. Portal for ArcGIS 10.3 ships with the web browser version of Operations Dashboard, but it does not include the desktop version of Operations Dashboard. What you have to do is go to the customer's care site, download that software, and then you have to enable it with your portal. That's the whole point of this slide here, okay? Because you don't want someone to have a lousy user experience if they were to click on that operation view item, they choose the desktop option, and then they get an error, okay? Something else to be aware of as well is I need to use the desktop version of this app to create an operation view. The web browser-based version currently is view only. It does not allow you to create a new operation view. This is why you need to enable it. So we have a slide here that goes over the workflow on what you do. You go to the customer care portal, download that software, double-click to deploy it, and then you want to basically register it with your portal. Okay, and we have help documentation on that. Now, for ArcGIS Maps for Office, this may prove to be a popular application that your portal users use, right? This allows you to do that mapping inside Excel or in PowerPoint. The takeaway here is you have to download some resource files and install them in your portal machine. And here's the URL to grab that. We also have it referenced in our help documentation. Okay. Back to you, Bill, for troubleshooting.
Okay. All right, so just a few other things and wrap up our session today. Moving on, portal administrator. So what are some other things as a portal admin that you may need to do? Everyone hopefully knows that starting at 10.3.1, if you have 10.3 or 10.2, that's not there right now. But we have introduced logging within our portal. So now we have log files being generated just like an ArcGIS server, and you can log into the server admin API and be able to look at log files. This is very useful for troubleshooting or perhaps auditing information or different situations like that. Much like ArcGIS Server, you can set the logging level and filter by severity, warning, fine, verbose, debug, and various things like that. You get to this location, as you see there, the name of the machine, slash whatever your web adapter context is, slash portal admin logs, okay? So I'm just going to quickly show this, just so you know where it's at. Particularly if you're not on 10.3.1 or later and have not seen this before. So this is a 10.4.1 portal here. Sorry, I'm not logged in. But once you do log in, you should see something similar to this. And there is a log feature here now. So I can come into these logs. One of the things I can look at is, well, what is the current setting of my logs? Where are they being captured at? Mine's set to verbose right now, just so it's spitting out a lot of stuff for the demo here. Verbose should never be used in a production setting. Generating logs is an expensive operation. You may want to scale that back to warning or something like that. And then anytime you want to query your logs, you can simply come to the interface here, say, hey, I want to query, you know, a particular type of log, maybe perhaps between a particular time period. And sure enough, hopefully we have some logs and, much like ArcGIS Server, you can scroll through these and get your information. So there we go. You know, you can filter and sort this as needed. So logging is there now. Like I said, super useful for for troubleshooting problems that may arise. Okay? Thank you, Derek.
No problem.
All right, just a couple more topics here. Let's talk about high availability. Just going to go over a slide here. The point here is to be aware that we do support configuring Portal in a highly available configuration. So if you wanted to put it behind a load balancer and configure it like that, you can do that. We actually support an entire web GIS, an on-premises web GIS in a high availability configuration. I know there have been workshops on this week. If you've really got specific questions about this, try to hit the island today before we close. Professional services is encouraged, but also you may want to check out some of our cookbooks of automation that we've published online under GitHub that actually helps you set up these types of environments with automation scripts. That's actually a very useful thing to look at. So that's just kind of wrap up. There's covered a lot of content today. Appreciate you coming and sticking with us. So we've covered things from, you know, installation and configuration. What are your upgrade considerations when you're configuring or moving to a new version? Many types of administrative and customization tasks today. Be aware that you do need to install some operations dashboard and Maps for Office backend components. And then, various troubleshooting. We didn't quite get into disconnected today, but in a disconnected environment, all the things we talked about today are things that you also need to consider in a disconnected environment, too, when you don't have access to the internet. So, very important. We appreciate your feedback. If you don't mind, please take time to fill out the survey, and we'll be glad to answer any questions. Have a great rest of the conference. Be safe in your travels. If you want to talk to us, you can come up.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.